Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cold Hard Truth podcast. I'm Jack Smith.
I'm Shrikar Rajendran.
I'm Anish Gupta.
I'm Duffy's Hawks Cowboys.
Yeah, so you want to tell them a little bit about your page?
Well, I've had it since last March, and I started taking it seriously around July because I was always into like graphic design and stuff, and I had another page named Duffy Visuals, but it got taken down. And so I'm actually friends with JPA Football, and he told me to make that page.
Wow.
And I remember he told me specifically after my other page got deleted, he said it's a blessing in disguise because I'll like start taking the other stuff seriously. A lot of people on Instagram, I see them like all the bigger pages, they just kind of say what they want people to hear, and I try to do like the opposite of that. I'm kind of brutally honest.
I dig it.
Yeah, we'll make sure to put all your stuff down in the description. So make sure to go follow Duffy Talks Cowboys on Instagram. It'll be down in the description. Do you want to start talking? What do you think of the Cowboys offseason?
For starters, this new coaching, like, I didn't think that they were – I'm a very negative Cowboys fan. Like, a lot of people have a lot of hope. And going into it, I wasn't expecting any difference. But – I noticed that they spent more money this offseason than they have in 2017, 18, and 19 – or 2017 and 2018 combined. So they're actually, like, taking stuff seriously now and taking into account, like, you know, we're not going to have this team forever. Like, they noticed that – I'm pretty sure it kind of hit them like a truck whenever the triplets in the 90s kind of fizzled out a lot quicker than everybody expected. Michael Irvin had a season – or a career-ending injury. Troy Aikman, same thing. Emmitt Smith – he became washed a lot quicker than everybody was expecting. So it just kind of – that they're hoping the same thing doesn't happen with Dak, Zeke, and Amari. So they're, like, trying to put a team around them by, you know, spending money and getting a coach that kind of has been there. You know what I mean? So, I mean, Clinton Dix, for starters, he's – I mean, we haven't had a good safety in God knows how long. It's been, what, 10 years? And then we got Gerald McCoy. Everybody's acting like as if we didn't – like fix the problems on our D-line. Like, yeah, we lost our sack leader, but we still have like DeMarcus Lawrence. He's one of the best defensive ends in the entire league. Like, it's it's not like we have bums or rookies. And then, I mean, we have guys like Alden Smith who used to be really good and could teach young guys stuff. Like, I don't know, it's good to have that veteran presence around and somebody who wants to play football. And then Randy Gregory, same thing. A lot of people forget how much of a like an impact he had. He had 8 sacks in 2018, I think. I don't remember the exact numbers, but he had a good year for us in 2018. But and then obviously we addressed the cornerback position in the draft. Trevon Diggs, Reggie Robinson. I mean, those are just raw talent guys that if they're, you know, if we develop them correctly, they could be a Patrick Peterson type of guy, a ball hawk, something around like they have. They have the potential for them in like their second or third year to be a Marcus Peters type of player and hopefully develop into somebody like Patrick Peterson later on in their careers. But that's up to the coaching at the end of the day. So,
yeah. I do have a question for you about the D line. You know, I was looking at my notes and Tyrone Crawford, he turns 31 later this year. He's coming off a season ending hip surgery. He has the 7th highest salary cap hit for 2020 on the Cowboys roster. And, you know, he's never produced more than 5.5 sacks in any season. He counts for $9.1 million for the Cowboys cap. But if you cut him, that's $8 million of his base salary. That's all gone. And, of course, Dallas has invested so much in its defensive front. You know, granted, some of those are recent additions, you know, Alden Smith, Randy Gregory. They are or could be back from suspension. But, yeah, obviously they drafted Dorrance Armstrong, Joe Jackson, Bradley Anae over the last 3 years to join DeMarcus Lawrence. They also revamped defensive tackle by adding Gerald McCoy, Dontari Poe, Neville Gallimore. So what I'm trying to get at is would you rather keep Tyrone Crawford or would you cut him?
A report came out a few weeks ago that – or not a report. Like, he straight up said that he's willing to take a pay cut. And, I mean, he's a good run stopper. And, I mean, if he can somehow make it past like preseason, then I don't see why not. I mean, he's a good locker room guy. Everyone loves him. And I mean, he, like, people forget he played a big role. Like, one of the most dominant defensive performances in the past few years when we played the Saints in 2018, he played a big role in shutting down Alvin Kamara. Like, people forget how like dominant he was with DeMarcus Lawrence and how much of an impact he had on that on those goal line stands. So, I mean, it's like losing him, a lot of people people don't know how much of an impact he had, the fact that we lost him. So, I would rather keep him and, obviously make him take a pay cut. And if the pay cut isn't what they want, then I guess we're going to have to let him go and let the younger guys come in, like Gallimore and stuff. But I don't know where they're going to have him if they do keep him. I don't know if they'll have him at end or tackle, or if they're running a 3-4 or a 4-3. I don't know yet, but.
And I guess to follow up on that.
Sorry, go ahead, Sharika.
Oh, do you want to go? It's fine.
All right. Well, I was going to hit you with a couple of the big questions, obviously. I mean, when you look at all the big kind of talks for this free agency this offseason, a lot of them have had to do with the Cowboys, right? They lost Robert Quinn. Let me get into the big stuff, right? So Dak Prescott, right? So in the past, I believe now 4 years, he was drafted in 2016. Now he's done some great things for this team, right? He's won the division twice. He's won a playoff game, also lost one to Green Bay, right? So he's had his ups, he's had his downs, and there's a lot of potential with him and Ezekiel Elliott, who's a former Buckeye. I absolutely love Zeke. But my kind of question with you is, obviously the whole contract situation is going on. That's probably one of the biggest stories of the offseason. Up and down, I believe he signed a franchise tag for about $33 million. But he's looking for a huge, huge contract that could reset the quarterback market, right? And you've got guys like Patrick Mahomes who are next up, Deshaun Watson, all these guys who are getting these big contracts. So my kind of question to you would be is, where do you see this team going with Dak? Because they just signed Andy Dalton. And I'm a believer in Andy Dalton. I think he's a serviceable starter. He didn't get the right coaching in Cincinnati. Marvin Lewis kind of derailed him. But he has five playoff appearances. He has a decent record, right? He's all-time Bengals touchdown passer. So what are your thoughts on the whole Dak situation? Do you think they should give him that money? Or do you think they should roll with Dalton with all these new weapons? And then kind of off of that, what were your thoughts on drafting CeeDee Lamb? So if you want to go with the Dak question first, and then what are your thoughts on drafting CeeDee Lamb?
Okay, I'll go with the Dak thing first. A lot of people, I know I said earlier that I'm very negative, but Dak, I've always believed in Dak Prescott. That's one thing that I'm going to make that very clear. I've always been on his side ever since the 2017 issues. I was on his side. Even at the beginning of 2018, I had a post and I said, it was Jerry Jones saying he's looking to extend Dak Prescott after the 2018 season. Even after we had gotten blown out by the Titans on Monday Night Football, he said that. And I still made a post and I was like, you know what? He's the only guy that cares anymore. Like, if he cares, I want him on my team. And he's one of those dudes that still cares and he still tries. And I mean, people in 2017, people always said that Carson Wentz was so much better. And I kind of had to swallow it because, yeah, at the time he was, but I knew the entire time what Dak could be, but was he ever going to get there? I had no idea, especially with Jason Garrett coaching him. So, I mean, and he still meant – like, all it took was one wide receiver. I mean, hey, they got him – they took a wide receiver in the third round. If Mike McCarthy was here, we would have drafted DJ Moore. Like, they refused to get him help, and then they wondered why our offense was ranked 24th in the red zone in 2018. Like, they didn't want to help him. So then they finally – they gave up a first for Amari Cooper because the Eagles were in on that too, and they wanted to give up a second, but then the Eagles offered a second, so they offered a first to make sure that they could get him. And originally it was called, oh, my God, they got robbed and blah, 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 and then Amari Cooper suddenly goes off, and then all of a sudden it's all Amari Cooper. A lot of people forget that in 2017, only one guy on the receiving corps has a job right now, and that's Cole Beasley. Where's Dez Bryant? Where's Terrence Williams? Where's Bryce Butler? Where's and even some of the 2018 guys don't even have jobs now. Like, people don't understand, and I made a post about this the other day. Like, Dak Prescott carried the 2019 Dallas Cowboys, and people can – I know that might sound crazy, but when you watch the games where he wasn't dropping 400 yards and four touchdowns and no interceptions, we were getting blown out. Like, you can't rely on a quarterback to do that every week when you have guys like Ezekiel Elliott, and then – you have guys like Ezekiel Elliott and that entire offensive line that you paid them, and then they're getting shut. And then Ezekiel Elliott's getting shut down against teams like the Vikings and the Saints and even the Patriots. He was our entire offense, and that was one of our worst offensive games of the year against the Patriots. So you can't rely on your quarterback to have 500 yards a week and think you're going to win football games like that. I said at the beginning that they should have paid him $30 million at the beginning of the last season. But they – and, I mean, everything was panning out so that he was going to have an amazing season stats-wise. I didn't know about wins, but I knew that stats-wise he was going to have an amazing season in 2019, and he did. And so now they have to bite the bullet and pay him what he's asking for. I mean, he risked his injury. I mean, he had – yes, we didn't win the division, one of the worst divisions in the past couple of years, but people don't realize – we played the Eagles, okay? That's a divisional game, first of all. Second of all, they were kind of built to beating us. Or built to beat us, I mean, sorry. Like, Dak Prescott, he had suffered a shoulder injury with his throwing shoulder he suffered.
Yep.
And didn't practice all week. And people expect him to show up and drop 400 yards when the team is focusing on the run and daring him to pass because he's injured? Like, come on. Like, that's just unfair. And then, I mean, I understand that like asking for 4 years and then 35 mil, I understand that's a lot, but you have to bite the bullet. You didn't pay him when you had the chance, and now you have to bite the bullet. And I get it. Like, he didn't win the division. That's cool and all. But the Eagles set them – the Eagles beating us that game, I wholeheartedly believe. If the Cowboys beat the Eagles in Week 16, CeeDee Lamb isn't a Cowboy, first of all. Like, let's just get that out of the way, which obviously is one of the best additions from any team in the offseason. Getting CeeDee Lamb at 17, that's not a thing if the Cowboys win the division, first of all. Second of all, Jason Garrett is still on the Dallas Cowboys because Jerry wanted to win. Because, you know, if we make it to the playoffs, this team is too talented to lose to the Seahawks in the first round. And they proved that last year when they beat them at Dallas. So they would have beaten the Seahawks. I promise you, they would have beaten the Seahawks. They would have made it to the second round, barely lost, had some kind of game that they barely lost, blah, blah, blah. And then, oh, well, maybe we can win with Garrett. Let's give him a 15th chance. And that's what would have happened. Garrett would still be a Cowboy. Gerald McCoy wouldn't be a Cowboy. Clinton Dix wouldn't be a Cowboy. Randall Cobb would be gone. You know what? Maybe we would have paid Randall Cobb and all those other guys wouldn't be Cowboys. But regardless, the Eagles handed us CeeDee Lamb. They took away Jason Garrett. And the only issue we have is that we didn't win the division and that Dak Prescott needs to be paid, which he deserves to be paid. I mean, there was a point in the season, no matter how much you hate him, he was playing like a top five quarterback. At one point in the season last year, he was an MVP candidate at one point. He was in the race with Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes until Mahomes got injured. And some people even had Michael Thomas and all those guys were in the race with him. Like, Bleacher Report had posts and all that kind of stuff saying, like, who's your MVP up to this point of the season? And Dak Prescott was on it. Like, people forget the stretch he had. And he deserves his money. It's not uncommon for a quarterback to, like, you know, carry the team all year and then eventually it wears down on him because of an injury. Like, you saw Russell Wilson lose to the Redskins because his kicker couldn't make a field goal in 2017. The Redskins. Of all teams, the Redskins, you don't think – if I told you right now that Russell Wilson lost to the Redskins in 2017, you wouldn't be able to take that seriously because it doesn't sound like a reality. But then when you see what happened to the team around him, then you see why, no matter how talented. I mean, sure, we had one of the most talented teams in the league, but they couldn't do anything. Lord knows why, but it's more impressive that Dak could carry a team like that, so talented, than it is that they did so bad. Like, he deserves his money. And obviously, CeeDee Lamb, I already dug in a little bit to that. He's the best addition, in my opinion, by any team. Maybe, I don't know. In my opinion, he's the best addition any team has made in this offseason. Honestly, we had the best value draft out of any team. Like, other teams with, like, multiple third-round pick or multiple first-round picks obviously had better drafts than us. But we had the best value draft. I mean, we had a bunch of – like, Neville Gallimore in the third round when he was projected to go in the mid-second. And then Trevon Diggs, who we were considering taking – or, I don't know, Trevon, whatever. We were considering taking him in the first. And then he's there. And the people that say, well, the Cowboys didn't take a positional need – first of all, Randall Cobb left, a 900 or an 800 yard receiver. That's one. Two, like, we didn't have. What do you want us to do? You want us to pass on CeeDee Lamb and take Trevon Diggs, who was going to be there in the second? Oh, well, then take Christian Fulton, who was there in the third. Like, what? I don't understand the logic behind that. Like, oh, okay, take Caleb on Chasen. I'm sorry. We just took Gerald McCoy and have DeMarcus Lawrence. I don't understand the logic people have.
Right. Yeah,
you bring up a lot of good points there.
Yep. Yeah, the episode that we talked about who had the best draft, I picked the Cowboys because in my mock draft, I had CeeDee Lamb, Trevon Diggs, and Neville Gallimore all going in the first. Gallimore was kind of a stretch for the first, but the fact that they were able to get all three of those guys with only one pick in the top three rounds, that was ridiculous to me. So I thought that – I know Anish kind of disagrees. I thought the CeeDee Lamb pick was maybe the best pick in the draft. It was close. And I think that receiver probably was a bigger need. I mean, receiver was a bigger need for the Cowboys than people thought.
I think a couple of points just there, but obviously I know with your whole kind of thing about Dak, there's a lot of – I think with the questions about the team, right? Obviously, Travis Frederick is now gone. I mean, the Cowboys have consistently had a really good offensive line, right? And I just think when it comes to their overall team, I think a lot of positional players were misused by Jason Garrett. I think Byron Jones was played too much man-to-man. I think he needed to kind of express himself more as a zone corner, right? Because, I mean, everyone was like, oh, he can't get interceptions. Well, he wasn't given as much of an opportunity to play zone coverage versus man-to-man, right? So that was one thing I had with Byron Jones. Obviously, he's gone now. So hopefully McCarthy, I'm blanking on their defensive coordinator, but hopefully they can kind of help Trevon Diggs become kind of a hybrid corner in both man and zone. Especially with Ezekiel Elliott, though, I think he was misused a lot. Because it's outside of his rookie year, right? And even I know he had the 6-game suspension, but in his sophomore year as well, he was getting like workhorse numbers. I mean, this dude led the league in rushing his first year, right? Second year, I believe he almost had 1,000 yards in 10 games. So that's really, really good in my book, right? So I think they kind of stirred away from that. And I think when it comes to the Cowboys, what really worked for them when they went 11-1 in 2016 was I think the run game opened up the passing game. Right, which allowed Dak to kind of thrive off of that. But then, like you kind of mentioned, this year they became too reliant on Dak Prescott. I think Dak Prescott had to make a lot of plays that he shouldn't have had to make, right? With these Cowboys, and I think I think with Amari Cooper, the game against the Patriots, I know it was against Stephon Gilmore, but it was concerning. Like some games on the road, I just didn't get the Amari Cooper that I was looking for, right? Like for the Cowboys, at least I just didn't see that. And you know, I am a huge fan of Michael Gallup. I think he is a great receiver. I believe he had 1,100 yards in 14 games. And I always bring this, we've been bringing this up a lot in the past few episodes. So I'd want to hear your opinion on that. So now you have CeeDee Lamb, right? There's three receivers there, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup and CeeDee Lamb, all who have the potential to be a number one receiver on an NFL roster. So how do you think that whole thing is going to work? No matter if it's Dak or Dalton, obviously you believe that they should pay Dak. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen, but I think Dak or Dalton is pretty serviceable under center. I have faith in both those guys. But my thing is all three of them have their own personalities, because after Gallup gets those 1,100 yards in 14 games, he's going to think to himself, hey, I can be the number one guy, and if Cooper is not doing as well on the road and I was still showing up, right, maybe I could be the number one receiver on this team. And obviously CeeDee Lamb coming from Oklahoma has all this potential, and you still have Amari who is there, right? Who had these 200 plus yard games, multiple in fact. So what are your thoughts on those three receivers? Do you think it'll gel out together, or do you think there could be some locker room issues potentially, and maybe even Gallup getting traded later?
Well, I mean, it's going to, that's another thing that about the people saying that wide receiver wasn't a need. You think about it, and Gallup only has 2 years to go, and he's a 1,100 yard receiver playing 14 games, like you said. Okay, now imagine being a guy who shows up on the road at home, plays through injuries, getting paid table scraps, compared to a guy who, you know, he plays like an elite receiver at home against, you know, above average corners, but not great corners like Jalen Ramsey at home, when he had one catch for like 20, 19 yards, something like that, against, and then you have Michael Gallup going against the number two one-on-one, winning every match. It's just, it's kind of awkward to see the guy who didn't show up away and was off the field on the play of the season get paid $100 million, and then them looking over at Dak and hesitating. Like that's disrespectful. And it's just, and the same thing with Zeke. I mean, yes, I understand that Zeke was the heart of the offense for the first 2 years of his career, but it's not 2016 anymore. This is Dak's team. They don't, and I understand they relied on him too much, but doing that makes you a better quarterback. And he's going to learn from that. But the fact that they relied on him so much, he's going to learn from that. And what you said about Jason Garrett not using players correctly, I agree 100%. I mean, Zeke, we watched the Eagles destroy the Packers running the football. So what did the Cowboys do? They pass it 40 times. Like, what? Zeke had 12 rushes for 70 yards and one touchdown. Like, really? You couldn't – and people act like, oh, well, we got down so early. You don't start the game down 17-0. Like, that's not how football works. You can run the ball to start the game, and then you can start passing. That's what they did on the first drive until the first interception, and then they started doubting it because of the interception that was 100% Amari Cooper's fault. Like, I'm sorry that Dak can't throw it extreme. Like, he can't throw it in between the numbers every play. But if he hits you in the hands, you need to catch the ball, especially if you're getting paid $100 million. It's just Zeke wasn't used right, and it's so disappointing because it's – Zeke was always my favorite player, but it's slowly becoming to Dak because – once you – it kind of gets to you when you defend the quarterback, your quarterback every single day. Eventually, you're going to start realizing, like, I defend this guy a lot more than I defend the other guy because the other guy is considered elite by everyone. If you say Ezekiel Elliott is an elite, you don't know football, like, point blank, period. That's it. And if you say that Dak Prescott isn't top 10, there will be people that will be like, oh, yeah, that makes – no, he's without a doubt top 10. And I said it before. People called me crazy. In 2019, or before the 2019 season, I said Dak Prescott was a top 10 quarterback. And everyone I knew called me crazy. And I was like, say what you want, but especially with Andrew Luck's retirement, I have him at number 9. And then what do you know? He plays like a top 5 quarterback. I'm not saying he's top 5, but he's easily top 10. And you can – him, Deshaun Watson, and Carson Wentz, you can have him between 6 to 8. That's no doubt. And then putting a guy like that with Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and CeeDee Lamb, like, really? You don't think that guy's going to be an MVP candidate by the end of the season, especially in a division with the secondary like Washington and New York and the Eagles? Really? You don't think that guy's going to put up MVP numbers? Like, I'm no. There's not going to be the only issue we have right now is Dak's contract and Michael Gallup possibly leaving in, like, 2 years. And who knows?
Do you think the offensive line is an issue? The offensive line? Because I think – They're getting a bit older, and then Travis Frederick, I think, was a big hit for me. So that's my concern also, because
at center you have Looney and Biadasz.
Okay. We drafted Connor McGovern in the third round of last year's draft, and a lot of people hated that pick. I was one of them. But then a lot of Penn State fans, like Philly Eagles News, texted me, and they were like, he's actually pretty good. Like, he could be a starter. And I'm like, okay. Well, I mean, maybe he could be at guard because we obviously have Travis Frederick. So it looked like a wasted pick. And then Travis Frederick retired. So now it looks like we could plug him in at guard because Connor Williams isn't anything like what we expect him to be. And we could put Biadasz, or however you say his name, last name, sorry. We could put him at center maybe in 2 years. Because, I mean, Joe Looney, he had that mindset in 2018 when Frederick was out, the next man up. Like, he did his part. I mean – and people overrate the fact that we had the second most sacks that year. Yes, the Cowboys gave up the second most sacks in 2018. But Dak Prescott also led the league by 3. He had 16. Second was Russell Wilson with 13 in sacks caused by the quarterback because he held onto the ball too long or he didn't throw it away. So people they're kind of like, I understand Travis Frederick's a Pro Bowler. He's going to be a Hall of Famer probably. But he's not – losing him – doesn't matter as much as everybody's making it out to be. And then plus we just extended Lael Collins. I actually was really mad when we extended Lael Collins because he had a really rough 2018. But in 2019, I mean, he shut down guys of the likes of Cameron Jordan and Khalil Mack. So, I mean, we obviously did the right thing. And he proved me wrong. I mean, Lael Collins, I mean, he's getting paid like top 5 money, but he's, you know, it's worth it. We have him for 4 more years. So, and then obviously Tyron Smith will – I don't even know if Tyron Smith's going to last like 2 or 3 years longer because that Travis Frederick thing kind of woke up a lot of Cowboys fans and it kind of made you realize like these guys aren't going to be here forever. it's time to start winning now. And I mean, it's cool to say we have a top offensive line, but in games that it mattered, they just didn't show up. When we played the Saints, didn't show up. When we played the Jets, I understand we didn't have either of our tackles, but the guys up front didn't show up. When we played the Vikings, Ezekiel Elliott couldn't do anything. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott's third and two. We ran the ball on 3rd and 2, and he got stuffed. It was 100% Travis Frederick's fault. He completely missed the defensive tackle, and he got right through. And he even after the play, it was kind of funny. He threw up his arms and wondered whose fault that was, even though it was 100% his. So, and then it's just kind of – I don't know if we're going to be able to replace a guy like Travis Frederick, but he definitely it's not going to have as big of an impact as everybody's acting like this. Because, I mean, at the same time, Dak led the – I don't remember the exact number, but he was top 5. I think he was number 3. He was top five in completions under pressure, completion rate under pressure, or like accurate throws under pressure. So it's not he's used to it because of 2018. And I mean, you know, I think we'll be fine with having Joe Looney, who's a next man up type of guy, who started a couple of games last season after Connor Williams went down. So we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, kind of another position group I wanted to touch on. Yes, they drafted Trevon Diggs, but is there enough in the secondary for this Cowboys team to compete this year, do you think?
That's a really rough question because one of you, I don't remember which one of you exactly, you guys mentioned how Jason Garrett misused Byron Jones. And yes, Garrett misused Byron Jones a lot because last year, with Chris Richard, we ran a half man, half zone. And basically that put Byron Jones on the right side 100% of the time, no matter if he was guarding the team's fullback
exactly,
or if he was guarding Michael Thomas. And then on the left side, we had Chidobe Awuzie, a third-year corner who I've been defending. He's like my Dak Prescott, but on defense. I've been defending him since the start of 2019 because everybody – you see him give up these catches on third and short, third and long, but you don't realize, like, these guys are making him play off 10 yards because they don't have safety help. If you press Stephon Diggs with no safety help, you're asking to give up a 70-yard touchdown. So giving a Pro Bowl corner like Byron Jones safety help and then not giving a young corner like Chidobe Awuzie safety help and putting him on an island against the number one guy, like, what do you expect? If Chidobe Awuzie does what I expect him to do, I think we'll be perfectly fine with having Trevon Diggs maybe sit the first couple of weeks and then come in. And then plus the addition of Daryl Worley is going to help a little bit maybe. I mean, he's only 24, but I don't know if he's going to be that good for us. I mean, he had a pretty bad season last year. He gave up 1,000 yards. And a lot of people are calling for Logan Ryan, but Logan Ryan also gave up 1,000 yards in coverage. I mean, people see the pretty stats like, oh, he had like 5 sacks and a few interceptions. Yeah, but he gave up 1,000 yards. So, like, I don't – it's hard to tell if Trevon Diggs will come in and have that Richard Sherman type of impact because Richard Sherman had the same type of thing that Diggs did. I mean, he was a receiver, and then he switched to corner, and then he was that raw talent, except Diggs was so good in college that he went in the second. The Cowboys obviously wanted him in the first, but he fell to us in the second. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I could see him starting like maybe week 7, week 8, week 9, around there, but he's not going to be the starting cornerback week 1. We're probably going to roll out with Anthony Brown, Chidobe Awuzie, and maybe Daryl Worley. I'm not sure though. I'm not 100% sure.
Of course. And also you have at nickel, you got Jordan Lewis and Anthony Brown, and I think those guys are fighting for the nickel spot. Who do you think deserves it out of those two? Who do you like more?
Who I think deserves it is Anthony Brown, and who I like more is Anthony Brown. I mean, a lot of people look at Jordan Lewis and they see, oh, he had 2 interceptions. He's a ball hawk. Not how it works at all. Mm-hmm. He got toasted by Julian Edelman. He got toasted by Cole Beasley. He got toasted by Taylor Gabriel. Like, you can't look at a guy and see his – I understand we're desperate for turnovers, but when you look at a guy and see him get 2, it's not even like he's getting 5. He's getting 2, and people are acting like he's the next coming of, like, Jesus. Like, he's not, I don't understand why, like, I had a Cowboys fan tell me, I'm not going to say any names, but he's a well-known Cowboys page, and he said, he said that Jordan Lewis was better than Chidobe Awuzie, and that he's going to be better than Byron Jones because he gets interceptions. Like, does that make any sense to you guys? Like, I'm not crazy, am I?
No,
it's more than just picks. It's a lot more than just picks for me, especially. I think passes defended definitely takes into account opposing catch percentage. I think it goes into deeper analytics for corners. I think especially with them defensive backs and receivers, I think you got to look at deeper stats because. I mean, you can just look at receptions or you could just look at picks made. I mean, it's a lot more than that. So, yeah, you bring up a good point there.
You can't even bring up picks when they only have 2.
Yeah. Exactly. They're acting like it's a – like he's dropping 7 picks a year. Like, seriously? But, I have a lot of faith in Anthony Brown. I mean, when he went – that's another guy that was underrated. Anthony Brown and Tyrone Crawford going down – were a lot bigger of impacts than people realize. Like, our run defense was already terrible. And then losing Crawford, that's, you know, you're asking to get burnt. And then our, obviously, same thing with our secondary. Terrible. but losing your starting slot, you're asking to get burnt. Because a lot of people have this thing for Jordan Lewis because he turns his head, and none of our other corners do. So that apparently makes him, you know, better than Byron Jones, I guess. But
maybe he gets whatever. Him 2 picks.
Yeah,
2 picks a year. I mean, the interceptions are so overrated because when you think about it, what cornerback in the NFL consistently gets interceptions in important parts of the game? None.
I can't name that a lot. I can't name it.
maybe Jalen Ramsey. I mean, he did it against the Niners. He did it against the Bills in the playoffs. Jalen Ramsey's the closest thing. Deion Sanders and Jalen Ramsey are the closest things that I can think of. Maybe Richard Sherman in his prime, Patrick Peterson in his prime, but those are like once in a lifetime guys. If you get picks, it's usually in garbage time. Like, Chidobe Awuzie got an important interception against the Saints on Sunday Night Football when on the first drive of the game, and we didn't score. But I mean,
you see, the best corners rarely get thrown at, so they don't have a whole ton of like opportunity to get interceptions.
Exactly.
So you got to look at way more than picks. And then you previously mentioned safety help. There's been rumors that the Cowboys might try and trade for Jamal Adams. What is your opinion on that situation?
Yep. I mean, I had a thing for it when before the draft. I was like, oh, there's not going to be anybody there worth the 17th overall pick. Like, I had a thing for Kalavon Chasen. I loved Kalavon Chasen coming out, but Kalavon Chasen isn't a guy you get with the 17th overall pick. He's somebody you trade back for, and then if he's there, you take him. But then seeing CeeDee Lamb fall, that made me like realize like anything is possible in the draft, and like trading. I was a little crazy before the season. I was in the win now mode. So whenever they were talking about trading for Jamal Adams, I was like, who cares if they want our first and our second and all that? And then I didn't realize we're going to have to pay Jamal Adams. We're going to have to pay Byron Jones. We're going to have to pay Robert Quinn. We're going to have to pay this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy. And I'm like, oh, my God. So having all these picks is actually a lot more useful than I don't know. I kind of blinded myself because seeing Jamal Adams in a Cowboys uniform would be amazing. But you have to keep your picks. And then plus, we'll be fine with Xavier Woods and HaHa Clinton Dix. I trust both of those guys. They're both pretty good coverage guys. I mean, you could honestly put Xavier Woods in the slot and he would do fine. But I don't know. I trust those guys more than trading our entire future for Jamal Adams.
So what do you think is the biggest, like, remaining need on your roster? We talked about safety. We talked about corner. I mean, on the defensive side of the ball or offense, like, what do you think is the biggest need remaining?
Honestly, this is going to be an underrated one, but probably linebacker. I understand we have Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch, but
you said Jalen Smith, you're good.
Okay,
you got it.
I got confused. I understand we have those guys, but Leighton Vander Esch is already, like, he's already showing that he's having, like, serious injuries, like how Sean Lee did early on in his career. So if we deal with that same type of problem, like, it's we can't have that again. Like, whenever – I remember when we played the Rams in 2017, this was before the days of Leighton Vander Esch. We were actually shutting down Todd Gurley with Sean Lee. And then Sean Lee went out in, like, the second quarter, and then, bam, 150 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, and he destroyed us. And I'm like, okay. So this one guy is our entire team. Like, you can't really have that. Like, the Cowboys have had that mentality since Jason Garrett became the coach. If this guy gets injured, it's over. We can't go there. Like, Amari Cooper got injured versus the Jets, it's over. Can't throw the ball. You have to run it. Ezekiel Elliott gets injured. Okay, can't do this, can't do that, can't do this. So getting another linebacker would be, like, I don't even want, like, a crazy linebacker. I just want a guy that is, like, a for-sure tackle when he gets there. And one of those guys that I was thinking about was Jordan Brooks from Texas Tech. He was I didn't think they would take him. I thought he was going to be like a mid-second, maybe an early third.
They definitely reached
first
for him,
round.
They
reached. Yeah.
You never know.
They always take players early. It's what they do.
They really got a guy. I mean, he has the potential. He plays like Bobby Wagner. I've watched so much on him. He's going to be so good. They got to. I mean, even though they reached for him, he's gonna be good. Trust me.
Yeah, and if you guys don't have anything more, I think we kind of get into the awards like we've been doing recently. We've been doing offensive and defensive player of the year predictions, and then same thing for rookies, and then finally a comeback or maybe a breakout player of the year, someone you think will do better than they did last year. So if you want to start us off, give us your offensive and defensive player of the year predictions.
Offensive, I'll give it to – I don't want to be like – I'll say Christian McCaffrey, and then defensive player of the year.
Oh, no, for the Cowboys.
Just for the Cowboys. Oh, my bad, y'all.
No, you're good. You're good, man.
I'll give – okay. Offensive player of the year, Dak Prescott. Or, no. Offensive player of the year, Ezekiel Elliott.
Okay.
Defensive player of the year, I'll give that to I don't know whether to say DeMarcus Lawrence or Jalen Smith, but I think I'll go with DeMarcus Lawrence.
I think I'm going to go with Dak Prescott for offensive player of the year. Might be surprising, but I mean, with CeeDee Lamb, I mean, he's going to thrive. I feel like he's going to thrive a lot more than he did last year. So I'm going to go with Dak Prescott. For defensive player of the year, I think I'm going to go with DeMarcus Lawrence. I think pass rush is going to be vital for the Cowboys this year. He's super talented. I think one of the best defensive ends in the league. So I'm going to go with DeMarcus Lawrence as my defensive player of the year.
So I think with the Cowboys, it's just really tough because Mike McCarthy was never really known to establish the running game back in Green Bay, right? I mean, we saw what Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams were able to do this year after he left and Matt LaFleur kind of took over. So It's really – I really want to give it to Zeke. Obviously, he's a former Buckeye. I'm a huge Buckeyes fan. But I just think with – like, you guys make a really good case. I think Dak Prescott, given all these weapons, I mean, new motivation, whether he gets that contract or not, I am so unsure about the situation. I think it's like there's a lot up in the air because, you know, you could say at the same time Dak has a little bit more leverage with kind of how the market is shifting. But then you could also say, you know, they got Andy Dalton for a really cheap deal and he's a pretty serviceable quarterback. So it's really up in the air. But if Dak Prescott is the guy, he comes in there, you know, with his money, with or without if he's playing in 2020, I got to go with him just because of what I think McCarthy's going to do for him. He's finally going to put, you know, more of the chips in his basket rather than Ezekiel Elliott. And I think that'll allow both of them to thrive. They'll feed off each other. So I'll pick Dak Prescott as my offensive player of the year. Defensive player of the year is really, really tough for me because I want to go with Tank Lawrence, but he's just – I mean, last season I think there was a lot of inconsistencies there. I'm going to go with Leighton Vander Esch. I think he can become – I think he can easily amass 100 tackles. I think he can become a Pro Bowl linebacker. Jalen Smith will only allow him to kind of – they'll only feed off each other, kind of similar to what I was saying about Dak and Zeke. So I'm going to go with Leighton Vander Esch. I know it's kind of a bold pick, but, again, I can easily see him becoming a Pro Bowl linebacker.
Dang, and he really stole my bold pick there. I thought I was going to be the only one saying Vander Esch, but we'll start with him. I agree. I think he's going to be the defensive player of the year for the Cowboys. I personally think he's better than Jalen Smith. I think Jalen Smith is a little bit overrated, but I think that Vander Esch can have a Pro Bowl and maybe an All-Pro season if he can stay on the field. So he's going to – he's going to be my defensive player of the year pick. Offensive player of the year, as much as I want to go with a receiver, just, there's too many of them to have one dominate. But having three receivers with the capability of going over 1,000 yards is only going to help out Dak Prescott more. And I like what you said, Anish. Mike McCarthy is a quarterback's guy. He's going to make sure that Dak Prescott throws
always the ball. Happen.
And now that he's got three super talented receivers, I can't see anyone else winning this award other than Dak Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to get us started on rookies?
Okay, so offensive rookie of the year, I mean the popular pick, of course, CeeDee Lamb. But one guy I'd look out for, if he gets the starting job over Joe Looney, I'd say Tyler Biadasz because I think he'd make the biggest immediate impact. But that's, of course, assuming he gets the job over Joe Looney because Joe Looney's always been that next man up guy, as Defi said. But, I mean, defensive rookie of the year – I think I'm going to go Trayvon Diggs. Of course, the loss of Byron Jones, I mean, he's going to fit in there really well. So I'm going to say Trayvon Diggs and Tyler. I'm going to say Tyler Biadasz, but also know that CeeDee Lamb is right there too.
If you guys don't mind me going, I'll go. So I, for my offensive rookie of the year, I have Ben DiNucci, quarterback out of James Madison. No, I'm just kidding. I got to go with CeeDee Lamb here because just, again, immediate impact. I think you know, I was talking a lot about that because I had no clue he was going to go to 17. So I thought he would actually go to San Francisco. And one of my things about him is his yak ability, right? His run, yards after the catch. And I think that works perfectly in Mike McCarthy's system because he's always had those type of guys in Green Bay. I think his ability to play a little bit of – while he hasn't played as much slot in Oklahoma, I think he can definitely do it. And I think they can utilize Cooper, Gallup, CeeDee Lamb all over the field, whether it be on the outside or in the slot. So I'm going to go with CeeDee Lamb here while I don't even know how to say it. Biadas, I don't know how to say it. But he can easily kind of steal that role and make an immediate impact coming out of Wisconsin. And watch out for my guy Ben DiNucci, though. I think he's a great quarterback, but hopefully he gets his playing time. But defensive rookie of the year, I think it's really tough when I look at the guys here, but I'm going to go with Gallimore, the third-round pick. And while a lot – again, unfortunately, I mean, I've talked with this with Jack a lot. I'm not the biggest Trevon Diggs fan. I think Xavier McKinney did kind of help him a little bit more. But with Gallimore, I'm a huge fan out of Oklahoma. I think what he was able to do on that defensive line, while Oklahoma's defense wasn't as good, I think him and Kenneth Murray were two rock-solid guys that they had there. And I think Oklahoma's defense is going to take a big hit next year, losing those two guys. And I just think Tank Lawrence is going to take a lot of the pressure away from him, and he can make an immediate impact on that defensive line. You kind of bring up Tyrone Crawford. I think those two guys will work well off each other, and I just got Gallimore as my defensive rookie of the year.
Yeah, I'm going to start. I think the offensive rookie of the year is going to be CeeDee Lamb. Just because, I mean, you can't deny his talent, could easily be a top five player in this class. And they got him at 17, which I already noticed is a steal. But I think that with attention going to Gallup and Cooper, I mean, the teams on defense really aren't going to know where to look with this Cowboys team. So he's going to get the numbers that you expect from CeeDee Lamb. Maybe not as much as being on a different team where he could start or shine as a number one. But I think that he's the easy pick for offensive rookie of the year. Defensive, I'm also going to go Trevon Diggs. I said earlier multiple times he's my second corner in this class, and I'm going to stick with that. I think the Cowboys got a steal, and so I can expect him to maybe by the end of the season be either the first or second corner on this team.
Okay, for offensive rookie of the year, obviously I have to go with CeeDee Lamb. Like, I had him as a number one ranked receiver in this draft class, even before the draft, and everybody else did. I mean, his yards after the catch is ridiculous, and that's what we've needed for so long. I mean, Randall Cobb only showed a glimpse of that last year, and obviously he's older, so it wasn't as good as what you would think, or as good as, like, he was a few years ago, if I should say. But that's my offensive rookie of the year. My defensive rookie of the year, I'm going to go with Neville Gallimore because Neville Gallimore, he – when I watched him at the Senior Bowl, they had him – whenever he had a one-on-one, he would win every single time, no questions asked. I mean, in Oklahoma, their defensive coordinator had them run some kind of scheme where they made – if you were in the A-gap, they'd make you switch all over to the far – like, they made you do so many unnecessary things if you were on the D-line, and every time you just stayed put and stayed where you were supposed to go, he would – you know, exceed and win one-on-ones, no questions asked. And then having DeMarcus Lawrence, like, suck up double teams and having one-on-ones with centers or guards, that's going to be – I mean, that'll be pretty dangerous for a player like Neville Gallimore.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, I thought about it a little bit. I'd probably go CD over Biadasz, but I do think that Biadasz, if he gets the starting job, he's going to make the biggest immediate impact, especially with other receivers around CD. I'll go with CD for now.
Yeah, Anish, you want to get us started on a comeback or player of the year, or maybe a breakout candidate?
Yeah, man, there's a lot of potential here with breakout candidates. It's tough for me because I want to say Michael Gallup but he's already had his kind of breakout year. So I think I'm going to go with Awuzie, the corner. I still can't pronounce, I'm blanking on his first name, but I know.
You got it right.
I mean, we've talked about his play style. I mean, obviously, Def, you mentioned how good you think he is. And I think if they can just use him better, right? Stop putting him on an island. That's a really good point that you made because some corners are just not meant for that, right? There's a lot of different play style with these cornerbacks that, and a lot of people don't see it. Whereas they do see it in receivers, like, oh, he's a possession guy. Oh, he's a speed dude. Oh, he's tall. He can get these one-on-one balls. There's a lot of similar things with corners, right? Oh, this guy is tall. He can play man a lot better. Oh, this guy is a lot better in the flat or on cloud plays. good in disguising coverages. There's a lot of things that people tend to overlook, and I think Awuzie is one of those guys that can easily develop in both good in man coverage, good in zone. I think he has the potential to kind of play great with, you know, with spies, good coming off blitzes. I think he's one of those guys that you can definitely utilize like that. So I think he gets my most improved player vote.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to go Michael Gallup just because the attention's going to be drawn to Amari Cooper, of course. CeeDee Lamb's going to get a lot of attention, and that's going to leave Gallup open. I think he's really – a lot of people would beg to differ, but I think he's going to actually thrive with having two other star receivers there.
Love Michael.
So I'm gonna go with Gallup.
Jack, what are your picks?
Yeah, I'll go next. I'm actually going to go on the offensive line. I'm going to go with Tyron Smith, a year where he was injured, didn't play up to, I think, his talent. I think he's going to return this year to being one of the best tackles in the NFL again. I know I'm biased. He did go to USC, but he's a stud left tackle. I think that last year was a down year, and he's gonna prove he's still one of the top tackles in the NFL.
Okay, I'm definitely going to go with Chidobe Awuzie. I mean, I've been defending him this entire offseason. Like, there's no way he doesn't have some sort of breakout type year. And, I mean, we watched him. Can you also hear me? My thing kind of messed up a little bit.
Yeah, we can hear
you. You're good.
Oh, okay. I was thinking something, my bad, Joe. We watched him every time he went up against guys his size, like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks, dudes that are basically smaller or his size, he shut them down. Like, it wasn't close. But whenever he went against guys like Michael Thomas or Julio Jones, then that's when you started seeing the problems. And even Stephon Diggs. I mean, Stephon Diggs had one miracle catch and one third down catch on a one third down slant on Chidobe Awuzie. But that's about it. Like, Chidobe Awuzie did his part against a guy like Stephon Diggs. And then, obviously, they put him up against Kyle Rudolph in the red zone, and he got his two-point conversion moss. But that's what happens when you put a guy of Chidobe Awuzie's size on someone like Kyle Rudolph. And then even in 2018, Awuzie, I mean, they had no fear to put a second-year corner on Julio Jones with the game on the line. They put him against Julio Jones, and he had amazing coverage. But Julio is going to be Julio, and Julio mossed him. Like, it's you can't put a guy of Cheeto's size on somebody like Julio Jones and expect to have success.
Yeah. Do you also want to start us kind of round up the episode, talk about your record predictions for the Cowboys this year? You can give a floor and a ceiling, and then maybe a realistic pick.
Okay. My floor is 8-8. I know this team too well for them to not somehow that's very realistic, because I've been a fan of this team my entire life. I get 100% seeing them doing that to us. But their ceiling is 13-3. That, like, I can see them – every tough team we play, I can see them beating the Niners. I can see them beating the Ravens. I can see them beating the Rams. I can see them beating Seattle. But are they going to beat every team? Obviously not. It's going to be down to what close games you win and what close games you lose. And last year was one of those situations where we lost every close game, and we won every game where we had a lead. So it's whenever, I mean, we were 0-8. I had this post on my Instagram. We were 0-8 when down at halftime. Like, that's pathetic.
Wow.
But you can't come back. But I mean, yeah, that's pathetic. But then at the same time, you realize the Cowboys don't blow leads. Like, they're not chokers. I mean, that means they're 8-0 when having a lead at halftime. So I mean, you know, the realistic pick is probably 11-5, 10-6. I want to say 11-5. The fan in me, the real fan in me, wants to say 12-4. But like I told you guys, I'm negative. So my realistic pick is 10-6, 11-5 if they get lucky and beat like the Ravens or Niners.
No, I agree with you. I think the Cowboys enter every season with Super Bowl aspirations. But I mean, the presence of Mike McCarthy, that should have them particularly hopeful going into this year. The McCarthy era will begin in Los Angeles against the Rams. And, you know, from a scheduling standpoint, I mean, the Cowboys got somewhat of a break. No NFC team has an easier schedule than Dallas. They face a slate of opponents that had a combined 4-5-9 winning percentage last season. But, yeah, of course, not all of the Cowboys games will be easy. Dallas has a home date with the 49ers and road trips to Baltimore, Minnesota, and Seattle. But in addition to four games with the Giants and Redskins, dates with both Ohio teams, I think that affords the Cowboys a strong chance at a winning record in McCarthy's first season as head coach. I think my prediction, I'm kind of going to agree with you, Defi. I'm going to go 10-6.
So with the Cowboys, it's, I actually don't like agree with, this was the one team I think I don't agree. Like, I think their schedule is really, it's really like, I think they got a scheduling break with the teams that like how it landed. But I think in terms of the team that they're playing, I think it's really hard because the two toughest divisions, in my opinion, are the NFC West and the AFC North. And those are the two divisions that the Cowboys have to face. And I think there's a lot of questions there. Just looking at kind of how they're playing, how their schedule kind of panned out, but there is some breaks. I think the best, absolute best part that the Cowboys got in terms of this was getting the Eagles at home in their set and Eagles at home late. So in the second matchup between the two, they get to play at home. I think that is
absolutely.
I think that is a huge, huge thing because when I looked at actually, I picked the Eagles to beat the Cowboys last year when they kind of came into Philly, despite the end, because I just think it really matters between those two teams. I know, I mean, obviously I don't know the rivalry as well as you do, Defi, but I know those teams hate each other. I know they've had a lot of history behind those two sidelines, whether it be in Lincoln Financial Field or in AT&T Stadium.
If you don't mind me saying real quick, yeah. I'm sorry for interrupting, but no matter what, every time Dallas is in Philadelphia already, like going into Philly, it's never easy. Like they probably have one of the hardest stadiums to play. And going to Dallas, I'm not saying Dallas is intimidating, but when Philadelphia is there, there's just a different energy. Like nothing matches nothing matches that rivalry. Maybe it's my bias as an Eagles hater that nothing matches it. But and one more thing I wanted to add that I forgot to add was that I can really see us beating Seattle and maybe getting to 11-5 or 12-4 because a lot of people overrate how good they are at home. Like it's not 2014 or 2013 mm-hmm. anymore. Three of their four losses last year were at home. So mm-hmm. people need to stop acting like they're, you know, some kind of juggernaut at home. They're better away, if anything. But sorry mm-hmm. for interrupting.
No, you're good. Yeah, actually, like in fact, the 12-4 season with Tony Romo, I believe they were 8-0. On the road and 4-4 mm-hmm. at home that one season. So they have shown prowess on the road. So I know you're not going to like what I'm about to say, but when I look at the schedule, I think the ultimate floor here is 7-9. I think because there are just a lot of games that could go either way. But my ceiling, however, I think my ceiling is 11-5 because there are a lot of these games that I'm looking at. There are a lot of revenge games here. One in particular, Minnesota, and obviously the Philadelphia one late down the stretch. I believe it's week 16 and I'm just looking at it here now. Yes, it is. That's their revenge game. That's where they want them, right? So I think even if this comes down to like two, you know, 8-7 teams fighting for the division, right? I think this game will come, like this will definitely be the biggest game for the Cowboys season. No matter if they, you know, beat the Ravens, no matter if they lose to the Seahawks, whatever it is, I think that week 16 game will have a lot of kind of sway here. So I'm really torn between so again, my floor was 7-9, my ceiling is 11-5. I think I'm going to go with 9-7 kind of right in the middle of that kind of prediction because I think they can win enough games to, no matter what, how the division goes, I think they can have a chance at a wild card or they can even win the division at 9-7.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys easily one of the hardest teams to predict every year because yep. people every year like to say that they're going to go to the Super Bowl and stuff like that, but there's a chance this year. I like their offense. I think that if they can find the right pieces on defense, whether those be the rookies or guys coming in to fill in shoes from before, I think this team has a chance of going 11-5, like you guys mentioned. But I think I'm going to go over you, Anish. I'm going to say 10-6 for the Cowboys because while they play some teams that aren't great, especially in the division, some of their out-of-division games are pretty yeah. tough. So I think that they can compete this year, but a couple of those games they're gonna drop, and then you always see every NFL team drop one of the ones they're supposed to win. So I'm going to go 10-6. But I think that Cowboys fans would be happy with that. I think they're a playoff team, but we'll just have to see. Because I think that the Giants can be a little bit better than last year. I think the Redskins can be a little bit better than last year. And I think that now the Eagles, like I'm a huge believer in Carson Wentz. So I think the Eagles will challenge them for the division. But I'll say that the Cowboys end up taking it at 10-6, maybe 11-5. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Defi, for coming on. It was great to have you on talking about the Cowboys.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. This is kind of one in the long line of talking to a bunch of fans from NFL teams. We'll have more content just like this down the road, and we've made a couple episodes in the past. Make sure you go follow Defi down in the description on Instagram. So thank you guys for watching this episode, and we'll see you next time.